Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, as we have gathered here in the name of Jesus, the name which is above every other name, the name that you have exalted, highly esteemed, so valuable, and you place him in a place of honor right next to you, a place of authority. And you said, Lord, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, both in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So this is Jesus, the person of Jesus we honor, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done and all that you continue to do for us as the church, as the body of Christ. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to us to help us, to guide us, to comfort us, to empower us to live this life called Christianity, that we can live in victory, this life called Christianity, being Christ-like every single day. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us and guiding us. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen, amen, amen. Oh, yes, Philippians chapter 3. Just hold your hand right there, and we're going to look at verses 12 to 14. Tonight I wanted to talk about, how can I put it, standards or qualities, or we can say the five marks of a spiritually mature Christian, right? The five marks, or we can say the standards or the qualities of a spiritual mature Christian. How many of you know the end results of what God is endeavoring to do in our lives is to bring us into a place of maturation, of maturity, yeah? To grow up, yeah? Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, but when I became a man, I put those childish things away. What was Paul saying? It's time to grow up, yeah? I'm no longer a child. I'm a man now, right? So there's a standard by which I live by. So I want to talk about, yeah, those five marks or qualities that you can see qualities are things that you can see in an individual, a Christian, that can tell you that, yeah, that person is mature. It doesn't have nothing to do with age, right? Has nothing to do with how you dress. But what it has to do is how one yields his life to the Word of God and allows the Holy Spirit to work some of these things into their life to where it begins to glorify Jesus. Let's put it that way. Okay? So we want to talk about number one. A spiritual mature Christian is number one. You can just write it down if you're taking notes. Is number one, they're positive under pressure. They're positive under pressure. Or we can say they're consistently constant. Whether things are good, whether things are bad, right? They're consistent. They're consistent. They're always consistent. They're stable. They're always the same. Or we can say they're solid. Yeah. Or number two, we can say a spiritual mature Christian, number two, is sensitive to the needs of others. Number three, a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. Number four, patient, consistently constant. And number five, prayerfully. A mature Christian is a person of prayer, always communicating with God. Yeah? Because he understands that that's what keeps him connected. That's what keeps him full, right? His prayer life. The God that answers prayer. So those are the five things we want to see. We'll see how far we get to some of these things tonight. But how many of you know that it is God's will that every Christian becomes spiritually mature? Or we can say, become like Jesus. Yeah. You know, just as we who are parents, some of us are parents, and expect our children to grow up and mature into adulthood and become world changers and earth shakers, right? That's the same thing God wants for us. God wants us all to grow up and function in a place of spiritual maturity as well. That's God's will for us. That's our Heavenly Father's will for us. Now, how many of you know spiritual maturity is a process? Everybody say process. You know, it begins, the beginnings of spiritual maturity begins when a person receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. He or she is born again, right? Born again by the Holy Spirit. And then that person chooses to live their life in relationship or in Christ. They make choices that will benefit their Christian walk, living in Christ, in their relationship, in their fellowship, in their communion with Him. The Apostle Paul said that spiritual growth is an ongoing process. And how many of you know, because it's a process, it doesn't happen overnight? Yeah. Amen. Yeah? So let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. The Apostle Paul is speaking. And he says, "Not that I have obtained all this or have already been made perfect or mature, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." Right? "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So he tells us that I have not obtained yet. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm still maturing, right? So even Paul admitted, as we just read, that he had not arrived. The guy who wrote three-fourths of the epistles, right? He could have said, "You know what? I think I'm good. Look, all these things I've accomplished, you know, I've written all the epistles, and I'm good." No, he says, "Man, I still got more to learn. I still got more to grow in Christ." Yeah? It's like the more you know, the more you want to know. Amen. We'll never come to a place where we'll know everything. Every day, everybody pinch yourself. Pinch yourself. You feel that? As long as you can feel that, you will continue growing. You'll never stop growing as long as you can feel yourself. Or we can say this, as long as your heart is beating, you're still going to grow, you're still going to learn. Amen. And that's a good thing. So Paul admitted that he had not arrived, yet he continued to press towards the mark or the prize. We can say the prize is Christ, but I like to say he was pressing on to the prize of spiritual maturity in Christ. Yeah. Christ was the goal, the prize, right? And that's our ultimate goal. Our prize is Christ. To come in a place where we're mature, but to be like Him. Right? Amen. So how many of you know that spiritual maturity is not a matter of age, like I said? Spiritual maturity is a process. And spiritual maturity takes time. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes effort to grow. Yeah, not just to grow, but to learn and grow. Some people can grow, but they haven't learned. Yeah, but we want to grow and learn at the same time, right? And become mature. And like I said, no one becomes spiritual mature overnight. Even Jesus, he had to grow up as a little boy. Right? In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, you can just listen. It says, "Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men." So Jesus increased. He grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. Right? As a boy and as a man. But here's the thing. You know, Christians can get older and not grow to spiritual maturity. We can get older in age but not grow up. It's kind of like the bumper sticker that says, I may be getting older, but I refuse to grow up. Yeah. And sadly, some Christians have refused to grow up. You know, you can have people in their 50s and their 60s and still are spiritual babes. Spiritual maturity involves much more than just the aging process. Right? Some people can look and sound spiritually mature. They know how to talk the talk, but the question is, do they know how to walk the walk? Amen. Some people look holy. They may even seem like heaven is hovering around them. Right? Some people even talk funny. You know? I saw this one minister I haven't seen for a while, and I just recently saw her on TVN. And I won't say her name. Powerful minister of God. And I remember her from before. Now when I was watching her preach, she uses the phrase, God. It's like, what happened to you? You know, we say God. What is that? God, you know. Trying to sound holy. You know. But that might seem in appearance, but not in reality. How many of you know that appearance can be deceiving? Somebody can look mature, right? What was that saying? You don't judge a book by what?
Cover.
Its cover, right? But you judge it by its content. You judge it by the substance that it contains. And just like people, right? We don't judge people by their cover, but what they're made up of. Yeah? The substance that they carry. It's one thing to talk faith, right? It's one thing to talk about faith, but it's one thing to walk out faith. And sometimes when you're on the other side talking about faith, and then one day, you know, God brings you on the other side, and you actually have to walk out your faith and trust God for once. Yeah. That's walking out your talk. And you know what? God is faithful. He's faithful to help us through that time. Amen. Because we are people who have substance. Yeah? Yeah. We're not just hollow people, but we are solid in Christ. So spiritual maturity is not a matter of what a person looks or sounds like on the outside, but what has and is taking place on the inside. Yeah, that's what it's all about. What you have and what God is doing on what you have and what He is doing right now on the inside of you right now. And what is He doing? He's in the process of transforming us into His image of His dear Son. This change that's taking place in your life, He's transforming you. So a person can be involved and even recognized by all kinds of organizations, which is great. But that doesn't make a person spiritually mature. They can have all kinds of degrees and diplomas hanging on their walls, and all of that is wonderful. But again, that's not spiritual maturity. Amen. Spiritual maturity is a matter of character. Everybody say character. You know, character makes all the difference. D.L. Moody said, character is what you are in the dark. I don't know if you guys know Roger Ailes, who works for Fox News. He says, you are the message. What does that mean exactly? It means that when you communicate with someone, it's not just words you choose to send to the other person that makes up the message. You're also sending signals about what kind of person that you are. That when you're communicating. Yeah. How many of you know you can pretty much know somebody by what comes out of their mouth? Yeah. Yeah. You see, recognition is what people say about you, but character is what God knows about you. Yeah. Let me say that again. Recognition is what people say about you. And they can be saying all kinds of stuff about you. Some may be good, some may be bad. But character is what God knows about you. And it's your character. And God says it's your character that determines who you are. Who are you in the dark? So let's talk about the five marks of what it means to grow up spiritually. Amen? So a spiritual mature person is positive under pressure. Anyone? We've all been under pressure. We've all been under the gun, so to speak, right? And James tells us in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, he says, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect." That word perfect means to be mature. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Notice that, count it all joy when you're going through various trials. A spiritual mature person is positive under pressure. When that person is going through all kinds of challenges and all kinds of trials, right? James tells us to count it all joy. Right? That's a good indicator to see where we are. So when things are just heating up, just stop and say, "Praise the Lord." Jesus said, "Count it all joy, man. Just do the word." And Holy Ghost is just going to empower you that moment, right? But, you know, the human nature is always, you know, to grumble and to complain and to gripe. And go, "Man, God, what's going on? Why me?" Right? "Why everybody picking on me? You know, first the washer, now the dryer, now my car, the tire. I mean, what's going on?" Count it all joy, right? What did Leroy Thompson say, right? If you come out of some place or the shopping mall and somebody slash all three of your tires, right? Go by the tire that wasn't slashed and praise God for the tire that wasn't slashed. Right? Be positive. Amen. A spiritual mature person will always be positive under pressure. See, we all want to mature spiritually, and we all desire to be complete in Christ. Amen? I do. And James tells us, have a positive attitude when it comes to pressure. Have a positive attitude, because we know that your attitude, right, will always determine your altitude, right? If you have a bad attitude, yeah? I mean, you're not going to go so high. Attitude makes all the difference, right? So James tells us to have a positive attitude when we come under pressure. He tells us to not only be positive, but count it all joy, right? When you fall into various trials. See, the bottom line is we all have problems, and we will all face trials in life. That's true. Jesus told us, in this world you will have trials and tribulations. Well, he says, in me you will have peace, but in this world you will have trials and tribulation. He told us, you can have peace if you're in me, but I'm going to tell you, in this world system, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulations, because this is a fallen world. Yeah. So we all have problems. We all face trials, the trials of life. And we'll all experience situations that are not good. And some of them will be painful. But the thing is, how do we handle them? How do we handle them? How do you deal when you have been dealt so-called a bad hand, right? Do your problems blow you out of the water? Do you get uptight? Do we grumble or do we gripe? Do we get negative or do we get nervous? Because the first test of spiritual maturity is, how do we act positively under pressure? Do we count it all joy when we fall into various trials? See, life is full of problems. And the big part of life is we get to problem solve. Amen. Life may have a lot of problems, but we get to problem solve these things with the Word of God. In fact, we already have the answers. Right? It's like taking a quiz. And you already have the answers to all you have the answers to the quiz. This Bible has all the answers. Amen. See, the Word of God has every answer. And having the right attitude as you approach the problems of life, because the Bible tells us to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, because our attitude determines how long or how short that trial will remain. Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
Yeah. If you have a good attitude, as far as you're concerned, this trial is done with.
Good.
Yeah. But if you have a bad attitude, that trial will just linger and linger.
Good.
Yeah. You know, I was driving home today. I went down to, where was I? Oh, I had to get my truck safety check. Then I came down to church, spoke with Lag for about half an hour, did some church things, and then I got a text from my daughter to go pick up a stroller at Target's. And then coming home, I noticed that when I engaged my gears, the clutch, it wasn't going in gear, it was slipping. And I was going, oh my goodness. And I'm at the main intersection, King's Cathedral, you know. And if I get stuck there, there's no way to push my truck to the side, right? Because there's no shoulder. I'm just saying, Lord, just get me home. Just get me home. So I put them in gear and then it catches and then, but it starts to go and then it doesn't grab all the way, but it's moving, you know, in first gear. And it's just barely moving, and then I'm able to cross and get on the other side on the shoulder, and I'm able to, I go, oh, my God. I was thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, what a place to be. And I was just sweating. Pressure. Various trials. And I thought to myself, you know what, I can't do nothing about it, you know. So I just pulled on the side and I just hanged out, you know, sat there, wait. And then I started back up and went back in the gear. And everything went back to normal. Then I was able to get home. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, I laid my hands on my truck and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed, you know, and got me home. But I'm not going to drive the truck around now, you know, right? I prayed, God, get me home. He got me home, so I'm going to stay there and leave that truck there until I get it fixed at the mechanics, right? So life is always full of problems. It's just how we respond to them. It's not, we don't react to them, but we respond by the Word of God. Yeah, amen. You know, a store owner was being pressured to sell his store to the owners of a large department store. They had bought every building on the block except his. Being frustrated by this man's refusal to sell, they opened their huge stores on either side of the small one, with a big banner running from side to the other one with huge letters saying grand opening. Feeling equally frustrated, the small store owner he finally outsmarted them. And what he did was, below the grand opening sign, you know, his store is in the middle and both stores on the side, the grand opening sign, he put a little sign under the grand opening sign, and he says, this is the entrance. Come in, this is the entrance. So in saying that, a spiritual mature person remains positive under pressure. You know, we can memorize scriptures, and that's great. We can memorize the Bible backwards and forward. But you know, if it's not getting inside of you, right? Christians still can be crude. They still can be rude. And they still can be obnoxious. Yeah. Especially when they're under pressure. It's amazing what comes out of people's mouths when they're under pressure. So the question is, what is our attitude towards life? What is your character like when things are seemingly falling apart? When you feel like the devil and all his cohorts are camped right outside your front door, right? Some of us have been there. We got the t-shirt. How do you respond to those things? So a spiritual mature person will always be positive under those pressures. The Bible says Jesus, when he was led to be crucified, right? Isaiah says he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He didn't open his mouth. He didn't complain. Say, hey, God, what's up, man? You know? He just kept his mouth shut, just like a lamb to the slaughter, and just went and fulfilled Father's will. Yeah. Number two, a spiritual mature person is sensitive to the needs of others. Sensitive to the needs of others. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Notice that. The Amplified Translation says, but whoever has the world's good or adequate resources and sees his brother in need but has no compassion for him, how does the love of God live in him? And he goes on in verse 18, little children, or believers, dear ones, let us not love merely in theory. Yeah, don't let God, who is love, you know, we don't love in theory. God's not a theory. God is a real, he's God. God the person, God the Father. So we can say love is a person. Yeah, he's not a theory, he's not an idea, he's not a feeling. God is a person. And this God who is love lives inside you. So what he's saying is if you see somebody in need and you close your and you're a believer and God lives inside of you and you close your heart towards that person and you have the resources to be a blessing, he's saying, does God who is love really dwells and lives inside you? And he goes on, he says, let us not love merely in theory, but with word or tongue, giving lip service to compassion, but in action and in truth, in practice and in sincerity. Because practical acts of love are more than words. Yeah. Love is an action. Love is a verb. Yeah. So a spiritual mature person is being sensitive to the needs of those around him. Amongst your brothers and sisters, when you're in the grocery store, right? You see somebody putting things away because they look, oh, I cannot, you know, afford it. Right? So can you take, telling the cashier, can you take those stuff away? Love is action. If you have the resources, be a blessing. That's what he's saying. A spiritual mature person is sensitive to the needs of others. And sensitive to those around them. A spiritual mature person doesn't just look out for themselves, but they're always aware of other people's needs. Always aware, how can I be a blessing? See, they understand that there are those around them that are hurting and have genuine needs. Think about it. You see, we might not be able to help everybody, you know, at the time being. I pray we come into a place we can, but we can help somebody. Yeah. We cannot help everybody, but we can help somebody. You cannot tell me we cannot. Whether it's picking them up and driving them to their doctor's appointment, driving them to pick up their groceries, they might be elderly, you know, we can do something. We just got to be sensitive to people's needs. Or we can drop off food, give them a phone call, right? The bottom line is we can do something. There's a Chinese proverb that says, a bit of fragrance always clings to the hand that gives roses. How true it is, for we never touch the life of another without it also touching ours. Yeah. It's amazing when you do something for someone that ministers to you more. It makes more of an impact. It makes an impact on them, but it makes an impact on us too. It's like, wow, God, thank you. I almost missed it. I heard your voice and I was going to just walk away. But man, I'm so blessed now. Yeah? See, true compassion does not stand and offer words in time of need. Real compassion does not only look, right? It sees. The eyes of compassion sees the pain and the suffering of the other person and has the courage not only to look, but also look for ways to help, however small. Yeah, however small those ways may be. Jesus always was moved with compassion. I think we talked about that on Sunday, James, a little bit. Yeah. Compassion is not just saying, oh, pity, pity, pity. No, compassion is like putting on their skin and feeling what they're feeling, the pain that they're going through, and being able to do something about it. Yeah, that's what compassion is. And Jesus was always moved with compassion. Yeah. He felt their pain, but he was able to heal their pain. And if you desire to flow in the healing anointing, pray for the compassion of God. Because I find when someone is truly compassionate, I find that the healing anointing flows from that place of compassion. Yeah. Because you desire to see that person well. Just like God wants to see each and every one of us well. More than that person wants to see themselves well, you want to see them well. You want to see them whole. And therefore, you are moved with compassion. Amen. And you begin to intercede on their behalf. You begin to lift them up to the Lord. Say, God, I'm not praying for myself, but I'm praying for brother so-and-so. God, just heal him. Just heal him. Just touch him. Spiritual maturity is about love. Not just love, but God's love. Agape love. Agape love, which is unconditional, right? Supernatural and everlasting. That's the love we're talking about. It's about compassion, about being concerned for others. This is a sign of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is, we don't show favoritism. We're not rude. We don't look down on others. We don't judge by appearance. We don't insult people. We don't exploit people for our own benefit. You see, the second test of spiritual maturity is, how do I treat other people? I would think you would treat other people the same way you would like to be treated. Isn't that true? Yeah. I would like to be treated. I would like to treat others, right? The same way that they would treat me, right? Mother Teresa, born in Yugoslavia, responded to God's call in her life while she was just a teenager. She was called to be a missionary. And she ended up teaching in India, in the city of Calcutta. Some months later, as she was teaching, there was something that occurred on the streets. And when she went to look, she saw something that revolutionized her life forever. It changed her life. And what she saw was a homeless woman dying, lying in the gutter, being eaten by rats. It changed her life. Most people would have just walked away. But she didn't. Compassion compelled her to beg for an abandoned Hindu temple from the government, and she converted it into a makeshift hospital for the dying. And a quote of hers became her life's trust, her thrust of her life. And that quote is, "If there is a God in heaven and a Christ we love, nobody should die alone." That's compassion. That's spiritual maturity. Paul tells us in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, if I have faith to move mountains, and if I can prophesy as angels, and if I can build churches and I can give all my money to missions, but I don't have love, I don't have compassion, all I'm doing is tooting my horn. That's all I'm doing. And it doesn't amount to nothing in the sight of God. In fact, it's worthless to God. All of these things that we do, right? So you see, the second test of spiritual maturity is how I treat others. How I treat others. What time now? You know what? The third one is, a spiritual mature person is a peacemaker and not a troublemaker. But I'm looking at the time. If we get into this one, I'm gonna close there, and then we'll continue. Lambert, you're on next week, right? Yeah, praise the Lord. We'll continue the week after. All right. So we'll close there. So did you receive anything tonight? Amen. Did you see yourself? Did you begin to see some of the qualities in your life, showing you that you're spiritually mature in those areas? Yes. So we'll talk about how that. We'll talk about a spiritual mature person is a peacemaker, patient, and then pray. We'll bring prayerful as well into the equation as well. Well, I learned something from this as well. So have you been helped tonight? Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We thank you for what we've learned. And Father God, that we are not only hearers, Lord, but we are also doers of the word. And we thank you, Lord, for challenging us, Lord, to be able to look within our hearts, Lord. And if there's any lack, Father God, we just ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would fill these areas, Father God, that, Lord, we don't have to be on, if these qualities are not in our lives yet, but it's being worked, that I ask that nobody here be condemned in any way. But, Lord, just receive it, Lord, and say, man, this is where I'm headed for. And Lord, I want to have those qualities in my life. Lord, I want to please you. I want to be just like Jesus in all of these areas, to be positive under pressure, to be sensitive to others' needs, Lord. Just allow me to grow in these areas, Lord, that I can excel and that people can just see Jesus in my life. And that I'm not the same like I used to be, Lord, because you are changing my life and I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. So I thank you, Father, for loving me and helping me by the Holy Spirit and guiding me by your word and empowering me to walk this out on a daily basis. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone say, amen. Amen.